Todd McShay has always helped me with my list of quarterbacks. They always say that Mel Kiper tries to steal Todd McShay's quarterback list every day. Todd knows a lot more than Mel Kiper. All right, that's enough of that.
Todd McShay.
Yeah, he kind of sucked. He did. Like, and he knows it. And he goes back and he looks at the tape. And there's a lot of things that he can work on. His footwork was not what it needed to be.
Evaluating talent for over 30 years.
I love his production like everybody does. But I wonder about the scheme fit. When he's 6'2", why is Mel disagreeing? He's 6'2", he's 248 pounds. You look at him as a player, he can come off the edge.
Todd. Wait, take a look at his production. The SEC is an outside linebacker. Playing through an injury, two successive years, putting up incredible numbers, tremendous motor, can beat you a variety of ways. I think this is a guy to meet, Todd. Deserves to be a top 10 pick.
NFL draft analyst for The Ringer.
We got Todd McShay. They did a live show just the other day. They're doing Saturday nights. He and his guy, Mensch. So McShay has been a massive addition to The Ringer.
In the McShay Report, a very excellent newsletter that everybody should subscribe to. It pops right into you. It's like, I woke up this morning, 7 o'clock. I'm looking at text. Celtics all of a sudden got sold. Then your newsletter came. I'm like, what a great morning. I haven't even had coffee yet.
Host of The McShay Show.
The McShay Show is going live on the road for the first time ever. That live show is in Chicago. It's September 10th. We're going to have a blast that night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Todd McShay with Spiegel and Holmes.
I need to get them in a room.
You guys are the not messing around crew. I like it.
Because this not around thing is about to go both ways.
On 670 The Score.
It's true. We do our best to not mess around. Todd McShay is now joining us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And no lies were told inside of that open for Todd McShay. If you want to go see his show, you can go to Lincoln Hall Wednesday, September 10th. Doors open at 6 p.m. and you can check out the show. I'm so happy that you're doing this. I love when shows like pods put themselves out there and get with the people. What made you make Chicago a tour stop for you, Todd?
Well, let me start with this. Of all the shows I've gone on, and it's probably been hundreds over 25 years of doing this, I don't know if there's a better in bump or a lead up to a guest coming on than what you guys do. So the production crew deserves a lot of credit. We're excited, man. First live show on the road ever for the McShay Show. And we chose Chicago because, A, I just love the city. I'm from Boston, admittedly. We have our draft out in L.A. We've got all different places across the country that I've been able to visit and spend a lot of great time over the years. But Chicago to me is like, first of all, the meal. I'm a foodie and the meals and going out at night. And then the sports fans. You've got the Midwest. It's kind of the epicenter there. Obviously, we had that great Chicago draft several years back that I enjoyed. The first time that we got out of New York City. We had 175 and sunny, beautiful day, and the next was sideways rain. It was perfect Chicago weather. But I feel like it's the right place to do it. And it's kind of the middle of the country. You've got all these fans from the Big Ten, from Chicago Bears. I thought it would be a perfect place to do it. And we're excited. Like the promo said, it's coming up next Wednesday, September 10th. Big Cat from Barstool is going to be joining us. He's our special guest. It's going to be Mensch and myself, and we're going to do about 90 minutes of a show. It's going to be an intimate gathering at Lincoln Hall, and we'll hopefully get to shake hands with everyone who comes and visits. It's going to take questions for as long as there are questions, and it should be a lot of fun that night.
Lincoln Hall is a really cool spot.
You're going to love that place.
I've never been, actually. I'm excited to get there.
Yeah, it's owned by the same people who have Shuba's, the longtime music venue over there at Belmont
Todd,
Southport.
My partner won't tell you this, but he's a singer in a band, and he plays a lot of venues here. You played Lincoln Hall?
Yeah, a while back, yeah. It's a really cool venue, and right down the street from where Lounge Jacks used to be, the great Lounge Jacks. But Chicago's a fascinating college football town, man. And frankly, it's a topic for us through the years, all the years of doing this, because like right up the street from where you are is a massive Michigan State bar right there on the corner.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there on Wellington between like Belmont and Diversey, there's an unbelievable Iowa bar. There's a great Michigan bar. Like there's incredible Wisconsin bars all over the place.
You go into Wrigleyville, there's a couple of Alabama bars.
This is a very disparate college football town, so it's hard to talk college football, but sometimes, like this as the Mecca of the Midwest, dude, like big games get serious buzz here, and they do. And that's why this weekend was awesome. Like realizing just how much the new playoff format, Todd, has allowed teams to schedule big time matchups in week one and week zero and week two with impunity, right? Because you can use it as a measuring stick. You can use it as a measuring stick, and you don't have to worry that a loss, even a bad loss, is going to rule you out of playoff competition.
And that's why, you know, Clemson decides, hey, you know, we've got our schedule in the ACC. We play South Carolina at the end of the year. But how cool would it be to have LSU come to our place week one of the season, Saturday night, our Death Valley, not theirs, and host that game? And they wind up losing, but it's a close game. It's tight till the end. LSU appears, maybe we all underrated them, appears to maybe be, you know, certainly a college football playoff team, but I don't know how you don't rank them one or two this week coming into week two of the season after the performance they had. And the same for Texas going to the Shoe. First-year starting quarterback in Arch Manning, who's coming to third career start. Brutal place to play unless you're Michigan, right? And to go in there, and it was not a pretty game, but they hung tough with Ohio State. And Ohio State looks to be, I'm not saying they're as good as last year, but looks to be a damn good football team. And so no voter in their right mind is going to look at that and be like, well, I don't know. I don't know if Clemson's going to. Like, we've got 11 more regular season games, conference championships. Like, there's opportunity for both of those programs. And it's not a massive drop in the polls for either program. It's an opportunity now to get back, and the schedule lightens up for both programs for the next couple of weeks before things get serious. And we'll see big improvement, I expect, from both of those teams over the next 2-3 weeks.
Todd, I spent the summer reading the Wickersham book, American Kings, and it's fascinating book.
I haven't read it yet, and I'm a huge Wickersham guy. He's a friend, but I'm dying to get into that.
I think
as good as
I'm
hearing.
Yes, you're going to love it, and you're going to love it because it really talks about the professionalization of quarterbacking. And from the time that someone shows a little bit of talent from when they're playing, you know, 12 U ball to getting to where Caleb Williams is right now, for example. It's fascinating to me, but I also think that it then puts such an uneven amount of pressure. Like, I kept thinking about the Arch Manning thing. I was watching the game, and you're right to give the context of that was his third start, but the anticipation and the expectation on him is so high. I don't know if he did not have a good game, and his throwing platform was all off and all that stuff, but that's what I expect from a guy that's making his third start in a really tough place with a defense that's really good. So how do we get to the place where we are giving the love where it's needed, but we're also like, hey, this kid is still, no matter what his name is, this kid is still a kid, and he's trying to figure out how to do this job.
It's a tough tightrope to walk, right? The Manning family and the Manning resources have allowed Arch, you know, certain things and opportunities and coaching and different things throughout his youth that a lot of young men just simply don't have. But on the other hand, the Manning name creates this urgency and this expectation. And it comes with I started our show off the other day. Like, people just suck, man. People suck, right? Like, they do. Our society today, especially, more so than I can remember in my lifetime, with social media, I sound like the old guy, but social media and the access to everything and the quick responses, the memes, the GIFs, he has one bad game, doesn't play up to expectation, and it's like, oh, he's a bust. Here we go again, another overhyped quarterback. So it's like everyone just take a deep breath. No, he did not play to standard. Yes, it was surprising even for me, knowing that he has been coached at a very high level, and he missed some throws that I just don't expect to see from Arch or from any other starting quarterback at Texas or a big-time program miss. So, like, I want to see improvement. You need to see improvement, massive improvement on those throws. But I also know this for 2.5 decades of doing it. Like, the biggest improvements you see in a quarterback, look at Lenora Sellers last year at South Carolina. Abysmal in his first start. It was, you know, turnovers, strip sacks, front side pressure he wasn't feeling, turning the ball over. Even when he wasn't turning it over, it was turnover worthy plays. And then we saw a little bit more, a little bit less of that, but still a lot of the same in week two. Week three, it got better. Week four, all of a sudden, he starts to take off. So I'm kind of expecting the same from Arch. And I see this improvement from a lot of young quarterbacks. It's not necessarily even, you know, in game one. It's from game one to game four or five. So let's see where he is around, you know, first week of October. I think it'll be a very different product. The other thing is, too, like, we all were like, yeah, Ohio State lost eight players to the NFL draft from their defense alone last year. And we know Caleb Downs is back. We know Sonny Styles is back at linebacker. They've got, like, three really good proven players. But eight guys went to the NFL. How good can they be? And how, like, how in-depth can Matt Patricia be as a first-time college coordinator coming in as the defensive coordinator at Ohio State? Like, how intricate can he be? How complex can he be on the defensive side? Well, the answer was obvious early on. As complex as he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a brilliant coaching job. But the hardest part of the coaching job wasn't the schemes that he threw out there. It was getting a bunch of guys that hadn't started a lot of games to execute those schemes and to do it so flawlessly. So it's going to be a while before they see a defense that can throw that kind of stuff at him. I think Steve Sarkisian, who's the offensive play caller, in addition to being the head coach, is going to learn from that as well. I think you're going to see Arch Manning start to run the football more, a little more run pass option, not necessarily like the RPO stuff, the zone option stuff, but I'm saying, like, get outside the pocket, utilize his mobility, create some opportunities where if defender comes, you dump it off. Defender drops, he goes. I think you're going to see a little different, more aggressive approach with his mobility moving forward. But it was disappointing. But it's not over. The evaluation isn't over after one game for Arch.
Todd McShay from the McShay Show joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. He was in awe of the open from our guy Chris Tannehill, like so many have
Chris,
been.
Nice job, man.
There he is. There he is right there. You join a good group. Ice Cube once complimented Chris Tannehill on his open. So, you know, you join a very good group. So you were great talking about Caleb as we all were trying to figure out Caleb leading up to the draft. And then we got to watch his first season with just some horrific coaching surrounding him and an infrastructure that Ryan Poles should be embarrassed by. And now he's got a really good infrastructure. I know that we're close to it and dissecting it every day, but from your perspective, knowing Caleb as a prospect, what do you make of this union with Ben Johnson and everything that you've seen so far in terms of how it's coming together?
Well, we've seen ups and we've seen downs in the preseason, right? And I've been just as interested and kind of dialed in as I think a lot of Bears fans have been. I know this. It's the right guy for him. I also know this. There's more, I don't want to say undoing, but more adjusting with Caleb to play, you know, on schedule, in scheme, making it his norm, making it his reality, his day-to-day function, than it is with some other quarterbacks who come out who played maybe more in structure than he did. And he had Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley is, you know, you look at what Baker's done. You look at what Kyler Murray. Like, it's not Lincoln Riley. It's that Caleb played out of structure more than any quarterback that I can remember under Lincoln Riley. And so taking all those skills that he has and keeping him dialed into what he needs to do with his eyes and marrying his feet to his eyes and being consistent with that, it's not going to happen overnight. But we saw, like, some of the good that we have seen with the positive flashes and the positive drives that he's had, that's what I expect to see more and more of as the season progresses. I do, like, I'm certain there's going to be some negatives. We saw it in the preseason game after the first start. There's going to be some ups and downs. There really is. And I think it's only natural for it to take time for you to kind of undo your thought process of I'll run around and scramble and create on my own to get to where you are. This is what I believe in. This is what I do. Play to play. Trust my eyes. Trust my reads. Trust my work. And then if I get to a point where that it's not available anymore, where the reads failed me, this play's not working, then I can utilize my natural ability. So I expect to see I expect to see it like tumultuous, up and down, maybe week to week, series to series at times. But as the season progresses, almost like the stock market, like The lows won't dip as low as we saw last year. So I'm excited to watch it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great challenge for Ben Johnson to adjust on the fly as the season goes. But it's going to start to click. I truly believe it. And I know that he has the talent, and I know that Ben Johnson is the right guy for him.
You're saying what I've been saying like the last few weeks is that this is the hardest thing to do. He's got to unlearn and learn at the same time.
Yes.
Like
yes.
It's so difficult when he has been playing. And I've tried to explain this to people that if you watch the USC stuff, it is him making stuff happen because he had to, because of how bad the defense was at USC, and frankly, because it allowed him to use a lot of the special skills that he has. To go from a pistol or a shotgun set to now taking snaps from under center for play action, like, I don't know if people understand how impossible that is. And Todd, for a guy like you, who's been watching these guys come up from the high school ranks to the college, where now pretty much everyone is playing out of shotgun or pistol, for a quarterback to go under center, how difficult of a task is that?
You know, it's interesting because I think for a while his shotgun went from like 10% to like 30, then to 50, then to 60, 70, and all the way up. I used to laugh at analysts who were like, you know, taking the actual snap and getting, it's like, no, it's not about taking the snap. It's about the timing. It's like watching, you know, synchronized swimming or like ballet or like a, whatever. It's the timing. It's instead of you take the snap and you're already dropped. It's now I take the snap. I'm turning. I got my head and back is to in the entire half of this field. It's making sure if I'm on a three-step drop, the routes are marrying up, the timing, get my back foot into the dirt and plant drive, you know, and then five-step and seven-step and all of that. So it's all about the timing of it. And there's still timing within the shotgun, but it's different when your feet are moving at that rapid level to drop. You're reading down the middle of the field out, and it's just it's a whole different experience. So that's absolutely part of it. And then part of it is, like you started off with, just undoing some habits, a lot of habits, right? What you got used to doing, what made you special, what got you drafted at number one overall, is figuring out, like, how do I use all those things, those tools in my bag, but channel them the right way. And so, like I said, it's going to be a work in progress. There are going to be some good moments. There are going to be some frustrating moments. But I think the bad plays, the negative moments, are not going to dip as low as they used to. And we'll continue to see it start to kind of grow over time.
We only got a short time left with you, Todd, so this can be a quick answer. Bill Belichick going to ever have sustained success at North Carolina?
Oh, gosh.
Can you even imagine that at this point?
Yeah, I was texting with my mom. Who's a Patriots fan forever, lived in Boston.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, she has that's where I get my passion for football and sports. She's a huge Belichick fan, right? And she's like, kind of like everyone else in this area in New England, is like, how could this fail? He's Bill Belichick. It's college, you know, like the ACC. And I'm like, I don't know, Mom. Like, I don't know that it's going to be a complete disaster. But I think it's going to, you know, it's going to take, he's got 70 new players he's bringing in and new schemes on the offensive and defensive side. But he does have good coaches with him and the support of the university. And I'm trying to explain it all in text. And then by the end of the game, she texts me and she's like, well, it is a disaster. Like, this isn't going to work. You know, like, it's just amazing, you know, the kind of the average fan who's not in this every day,
yeah,
who went from like, there's no way that this can work. And I'm like, it's not going to be a disaster. Like, oh, no, this is a disaster. Like, this doesn't, no, it's not going to work.
So. Yeah, the people don't realize like the mechanism that is college football, and it's so many different layers than what the NFL is. It's it's going to be a work in progress for sure. Go see Todd McShay and the Todd McShay Show live Wednesday, September 10th at Lincoln Hall, 7 p.m. is when the show starts. The doors open up at 6 p.m. Todd, this was great, man. Thanks for doing this. Good luck next week. It'll be a lot of fun. Chicago will come out and support you.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Chicago. Don't be the city that lets us down. I'm excited. Like, I want to meet everyone. I want to talk ball with everyone. It's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're around, you got a little free time, come join us. I expect you both to be there.
I actually think I can make it.
You can?
There we go.
Yeah, I
got to return some videotapes, but thank you so much. No, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I couldn't resist the line. I couldn't resist. Wow. You know,
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. All right, we'll see at least one of you.
Todd, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate
you. All right, guys.
Thanks,
I appreciate your time. Have a good one.